It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. 25 years ago, a political scientist named John DiUlio coined the term super predator. He warned of a generation of young criminals preying on middle-class Americans. When Hillary Clinton doubled down on the warning during a speech she gave one year later in support of the 1994 crime bill, the term exploded into the nation's consciousness.
We need to take these people on. They are often connected to big drug cartels. They are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy.
But these so-called super predators never materialize. And that's because, as Professor Kim Taylor Thompson wrote in an op-ed for the LA Times last week, they were a myth rooted in America's troubled history of racism and white supremacy. Professor Taylor Thompson joins us now to discuss it. Welcome to WNYC, Professor.
Thank you.
You suggest in your piece that the entire notion of the super predator is a lie. So let's start there. Why is it a lie?
Sure. What was going on at the time that John DiUlio began to suggest that there was this coming tidal wave of this new breed of hardened, remorseless kid that was soon going to break out of the confines of black inner city communities and was going to begin to enter upscale central city districts. And what actually happened was the prediction was wrong. There was no huge rise in the juvenile crime rate. And in fact, between 1994 and 2000, it actually dropped.
What made the super predator idea so easy to perpetuate? And why has it taken hold, even though it's not true?
I think that the reason why it actually took hold was that we are accustomed to believing that black children are somehow different. They are less human. They are more predatory. They don't deserve the care that we reflexively give to white children. And I think that that lie is deeply rooted in our history. If you go back to slavery, white slavers actually separated children from their mothers because there was this recognition that a child could bring the slaver a greater profit. In order to be able to separate a child from its mother, you have to stop seeing that black child as a child. You have to see that black child as property, as chattel. And so that's where it began. If you look back to the Jim Crow era, we have countless examples of white mobs lynching black children. So by the time we get to these stories being promulgated about, children, black children being predators, the nation's already primed to expect the disparate treatment of black children.
The fact that this has been going on, this demonization of black children has been going on way before 1996, when super predator was invented. So what are the intergenerational effects of that perpetuation of that myth?
One is that you begin to see an entire generation of black children being considered outside the boundaries of childhood. And what that allowed us to do was to be unbothered by the notion that that prosecutors were putting young children into the adult criminal justice system, children as young as 9 and 10 years old. And what ended up happening is that our kids of color, habitually experienced this treatment as though they were expendable. From their earliest years, children of color know well the impact of being suspected of wrongdoing based on how they look. Black kids are feared more than any other adolescents, regardless of economic background. Black children are victimized at a greater rate, they're policed differently, and they are customarily treated more harshly in the justice system.
Racial reckoning is a thing that we've been talking a lot about in society. Given that, and this insidious belief that we've been talking about, that black children are somehow super predators, and that idea has taken hold in the American psyche, how do we reckon with that? How do we root that out?
It's one of the things that we have to really begin to work toward, and we need to have a real reckoning that forces us to confront our history and face it truthfully, and then to begin to figure out how we move forward. It means understanding why it is that we instinctively will give a white child the benefit of the doubt and see that child as a child and not do that with a black child.
Kim Taylor Thompson is a professor of law at New York University. Professor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.